You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident fanalist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_daddy. So today I'm going to do something that I usually take pride in never doing, and that is I'm just going to completely rip something off another podcast. I was listening to Grapes and Gorak, the Minnesota Vikings podcast for Overtime Media, and they went through and did NFC over and unders and AFC over unders. I only listened to the NFC one. But it was pretty solid and it was very engaging. And as much as I like to stick to Packers, because I feel like a lot of people are, you know, kind of like on social media, it's, you know, you're not allowed to talk about anything but sports if you're a sports person. I feel like with this podcast, there's a certain contingent of the listeners that are like, hey, I just want Packers. But sometimes it's like, hey, it's the off season, get out of my face, I don't care. Also, just in general, I kind of like talking NFL once in a while, even like during the season. Like, we're going to cover other teams because it's fun. But anyways, it is kind of interesting to see what Vegas has to say because, you know, although there isn't really, it's not necessarily a prediction as much as it is how can we maximize the amount of money we make, which sometimes comes down to playing off fan bases or whatever. But in general, sometimes you look at it and go, wow, that's kind of interesting that they have that total there because that's not really where, you know, the national feeling is at this moment. So it's fun to look at, and I just want to kind of give my thoughts on over or under. And as much as I don't want to say push, which essentially is I'm going to leave it right at where it's at. If they say 9 wins, I think 9 wins is where I want to put it. Fact of the matter is Vegas is trying to get that. They want everybody to be right at that point where they're like, that's pretty dead on what I think. So sometimes it's going to be that, and I just don't care. It's more or less me giving my opinion on where I feel the win totals should be. Now, the other thing is, I'm not going to put in the time to look at every single team that they're playing because that just, first of all, way too much work. Second of all, too many layers, right? You got to factor in not only, okay, look at every single team they're playing, but then factor in all the variables of that team. Like, is that team going to be good or not, right? Could that team be a 14-win team? Or, you know, it's too much. So it's really just looking at the roster, looking at the team, and saying that right there is a 9-win team. Maybe if we're talking about the Patriots, I'll give them a little bump because they're just going to destroy their division. But otherwise, not really what I'm looking for. So anyways, as always, 5-star review on iTunes is appreciated. Check out the description to leave a voicemail or a text message. Be sure to get into the Facebook group. There is a link in the description that will take you to a list of links where you can find all kinds of goodies. Merchandise, support the show, NFL draft website, Facebook group, etc. So anyways, let's take our break and start having a little fun.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We get all hyped up thinking we're going to get some high-value Jordan Love card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now, introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view on all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy slab packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And honestly, the best thing for me and my son is the fact that we're kind of novices into this. When I walk into a card shop with my son, and a card says it costs $40, kind of just taking his word for it that that's a good value. So I appreciate the transparency on grading, as well as just getting excited about seeing what you could potentially get. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/packdaddy. Wow, that's crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/packdaddy for 10% off your first purchase. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
All right, so we'll go through the divisions here, and we'll start with the most useless division, which is the AFC East. Not really the most useless, but kind of, because I feel like the goal of the AFC East is for the Dolphins, Bills, and Jets to beat the Patriots, which is useless because they just can't seem to do it, except for the Dolphins, who occasionally win some fluky game that doesn't matter even in the slightest. Win the division. Or how about this? Just don't be terrible. Can the three of you take one game apiece from the Patriots? Stop being so horrible. Why is it so hard for you to not be so horrible? Anyways, in 2018, the New England Patriots had 11 wins. In 2019, they are projected to have 11 wins. As much as I would love to project the New England Patriots to have less than 11 wins, that has only happened twice since 2003. And in both cases, they had 10 wins. This flubbin' team has had double-digit wins every single year since 2003, and even prior to that, in 2002, they had 9 wins. 2001, they had 11 wins. So betting when Tom Brady is playing the best football of his career, as I talked about not too long ago, the last 4 years have been the best stretch of his entire career. He's playing better now than he ever has. Saying they're going to win less than 11 games seems silly. In fact, 11 wins in 2018 is the lowest they've had since 2009. In 2010, since 2010, 14, 13, 12, 12, 12, 12, 14, 13. So unfortunately, I'm going to take the over. I don't have any expectation the rest of the division is going to be any good. We know the Miami Dolphins are going to be garbage, the one team that occasionally can beat them. I don't think they're going to win a game against the Patriots this year. So I'm going over. The Dolphins last year somehow squeezed out 7 wins, and they put them at 5 wins. It's hard. There's certain numbers that are hard to go below or above, right? If a team gets 11 or 12, it's like, geez, I really, you know, going above that is kind of, which is why you don't see too many. However, I don't think they're going to do it. I mean, this is a team that's doing its best job trying to convince people that they're not going to tank this season, without even really addressing the fact that, oh, no, we're going to be a good team. We have a Super Bowl in mind. No, that even when they talk about it, which was a while ago, it's almost as if they're saying, look, I know we're bad, and I know we're not going to win hardly any games, but we are not tanking, which should be a lie. If it's not a lie, you guys, I mean, GM, owner, you should all be fired. Get the first pick. Get the top quarterback. Stop messing around. Can probably get the top quarterback and then get a freakish wide receiver with the number one pick in the second round in next year's draft anyways. Or a freakish running back or a great tackle or whatever. Because there's a sickening amount of offensive talent and some first round talent is going to slip to the first pick in the second round. But anyways, yeah, I'm going under on that one. Buffalo Bills last year won 6. They put them at 7. I'm going to go under on this one, too. There's a lot of talk about, oh, they have this great defense and Josh. I've never really cared for Josh Allen. I just don't really get it. He doesn't really have anyone to throw to. John Brown and Zay Jones are no good. They went out and got Cole Beasley, but so what? The offensive line isn't very good. I mean, LeSean McCoy, I don't know what he has left in the tank. I mean, the defense does have some people. They got Micah Hyde. They got Jerry Hughes. They got Lorenzo Alexander, who had a good year last year, but I don't know how much I trust that. Oliver up front now that they drafted. But, I mean, who cares, man? The offense isn't going to do anything. They got the big guy with the strong arm and nobody to throw to. I'm not buying it. And they bumped it from 6 to 7 wins. Nah. I mean, 7 isn't horrible, but I'd feel a lot more comfortable saying they get 6 again. Again, I think their defense is good enough to get them 6, which is to say they can score enough points. Maybe the offense has a couple good games that the offense is going to, or the defense is going to make sure they win those couple good games. I'm going under 7. And then the New York Jets, they won 4 games last year. They bump them from 4 to 7. So they're looking at the AFC East and saying these teams are going to get a lot better. And I think that's sort of the national narrative, is that these teams are going to get better. There's a lot of love for Josh Allen and especially Sam Darnold. He was seen as this really, really good quarterback. I didn't really see it with him either. Although I will say I kind of like this team a little bit more. You know, they got Le'Veon Bell now, which is going to help. I think I like this defense a little bit more. They don't have necessarily the elite pass rushers like Jerry Hughes or the elite players along the line, but everybody's just solid, right? They've got solid corners, really solid linebackers, 2 really good safeties, a solid front. I'm still concerned about the offense, though. The offensive line is worse than what the Bills have. I don't really have any expectations for Sam Darnold. Yeah, he'll probably get better. Maybe I was probably just wrong about him when I was looking at the film in the draft. For me, there was Josh Rosen and there was Baker Mayfield that were the good quarterbacks, and everybody else just wasn't very good. And again, Enunwa, Robbie Anderson, come on, man. Le'Veon Bell doesn't have anywhere near the offensive line he had with Pittsburgh. Not to say he's going to be useless, but the point is, though, 7 wins isn't that much, right? So I don't think they get to 8-8. Do I think it's 7 or less is kind of the question. I'm just going to go under. I just think there's too many good teams. And again, I'm not really looking at the teams they're playing, but just looking at the league, there's not that many teams are going to... They've got 2 wins with the Dolphins, and maybe they split with the Bills. So that should be roughly 3 wins for the Jets and the Bills. So really, it's just a matter of can they get 4 more? All right, I got to look at the schedule a little bit. So not looking in the division, they got the Giants, that's possible. The Bengals, maybe. Titans, maybe. Redskins, maybe. These are not good teams. Ravens, maybe. I don't know. I'll say push. I'll say they get 7 wins. Jets, Giants, Bengals, Dolphins, Titans, Redskins, Dolphins again, Ravens, Jets. Those are the ones I think they have a chance. That's 9. They'd have to win 7 of 9 that I'm calling possible, although there's going to be a couple of upsets. Yeah. I feel like in my mind it's like 6.5, which I know I can't bet 6.5 because that would be ridiculous because it's impossible. But that's just kind of where I'm at. It's going to be 6 or 7. I'll just say 7. I don't know. You know what? No, because I want to go over or under, I'll just say under. All right, moving on to the AFC North now. The Baltimore Ravens had 10 wins last year. They put the total at 8. I'm just going to go under. I just see the Baltimore Ravens completely crashing. The biggest thing that they had going for them last year was an absolutely dominant defense, and they lost a lot of players. Not only did they lose Suggs, but they lost Za'Darius, so they don't really have pass rushers right now. They lost C.J. Mosley, their linebacker. They brought in Earl Thomas, which is cool if he can stay healthy. I don't think they have an elite defense anymore. I don't believe in Lamar Jackson. I know he had some flashes, but I really, maybe I'm just biased because I didn't watch him throughout the entire season. I just saw that playoff game, and that may have taken the mantle for worst quarterback performance I've ever seen in my life. That was before that game, it was Blaine Gabbert held that title. Lamar Jackson now holds the title of worst quarterback performance I've ever seen in my life. Now, he came back and had some pretty good throws, but what was it? Wasn't it like negative passing yards by the third quarter or just something absolutely insane? I don't know. I in general, and I've been saying this for a while, I think being a rushing quarterback, as much as the NFL seems to love that, I just think that's a skill that almost nobody can do. And I'm not talking about throwers that have legs that occasionally can run when the opportunity arises. I'm talking guys that are like 50-50 talent, where your running and your throwing ability are about even. And it's not... The only reason is because it's just so much harder when you have to do 2 jobs at once. Your brain can't process that. Being a quarterback is hard as it is. Just being a pocket quarterback is unbelievably hard, the amount of mental processing you have to do. If you have to segregate a portion of your brain and set it apart from the rest of your brain to make it work just toward rushing, to look for areas to rush, times to rush, places to run, it's just too much. And we almost never see it work. Michael Vick was extremely talented at it. And I think the guys that can do it are primarily, Aaron Rodgers has legs. He's a passer. To call him a rushing quarterback is silly. Even Russell Wilson, he's a passing quarterback that has mobility when the time arises. When the play breaks, and a lot of the mobility is just really kind of rolling out, right? Pressure's coming to you, you just kind of run and still are looking for somebody to throw. Lamar's a runner. I'm just not buying it. He doesn't really have much talent to throw to. I know he's got Hollywood Brown, but I just really don't care for that pick necessarily because it's just, if I'm going to get Lamar Jackson something, I want to give him something solid. Now, maybe Hollywood is one of those guys that you just kind of dump it off to, but I don't think that usually works either. Here's a fast guy. We just got to find ways to get him the ball. No, get him a guy like Devontae. Obviously not you're not going to just get a Devontae in the draft, but you know what I mean? Like, just a solid receiver. Guy that runs good routes and has good hands. Don't get the flashy guy for the quarterback that's struggling. That's why tight ends are so pivotal for quarterbacks. That's why it's especially young quarterbacks, untalented. Go get a tight end. They're not super fast, flashy guys. They're just big guys that are going to bail you out. So, no. You could have put this at 7, and I still would have said under. I'm going to say maybe 6 wins for Baltimore. I just don't buy it. I think the Bengals are going to be improved, which we'll get to. I think the Steelers are still a lot better, and I think the Browns are going to be better. I think the Baltimore Ravens are going to just get absolutely stomped in their own division, and I think they're going to get stomped around the NFL. If they go even under 6, I wouldn't be surprised. And yeah, a lot of it falls on Lamar. I mean, if he is a really talented quarterback, then I'm going to be very wrong about this. But I just think the defense is a lot worse. The offense doesn't have a lot going for it. It's just kind of a mess, and the quarterback is just kind of embodies that whole mess. Pittsburgh Steelers won 9 last year. The 2019 win total, they have at 9.5. I find that strange because I don't know how they got better necessarily. I mean, I guess they didn't have Le'Veon or Antonio Brown the entire year last year. And I guess without thinking about it in those terms, you know, if you just forget that and say, okay, the Steelers as they are they a 9-win team? I'd say, yeah. Still got a great offensive line, still a very talented quarterback. They got a good enough running back. Juju's a fantastic wide receiver. I think they got good corners. They've got a good enough line. They drafted Bush at linebacker, which I think is going to be pretty solid. Again, I think the division is, it's weird because when I look at the roster, it's like, yes, it should be over. When I look at the fact that they only won 9 games last year and the division got harder and they lost players, it's like, how do I justify that? And I'm not exactly sure what to do with that. I guess maybe I shouldn't underestimate 10 wins. 10 wins is kind of a lot. All right, let's look at what they got. The Seahawks, they can beat. The Patriots week 1, I think, is very doable. The Patriots at the beginning of the year usually struggle. 49ers, I think they can beat. Bengals, I still think they're better than. The Ravens, I think they'll beat. The Dolphins, that's a joke. What else? The Browns, maybe they split with. Bengals, Cardinals, Bills, Jets. Oh, geez. Yeah, I'm going over. They're playing the AFC East, so there's 3 wins there. If they beat the Ravens twice, that's 5. If they split with the Browns and the Bengals, that's 7. Man, we still got a ways to go here. That's if all those things are true. They've got the Patriots, the Seahawks, the 49ers, the Chargers, the Colts, the Rams, and that's it. So of that, 6 teams, they'd have to win 3. And I don't think they beat the Chargers, Colts, or... you know what? Just over. I'll give them 10. They're talented enough to beat some of these teams that they're probably not supposed to beat. They should beat the teams that they should beat. I mean, it's an easy schedule. If a good team can't get 10 wins with a relatively easy schedule, then I don't know what else to say. So I'm going over. I'm going to say they get 10 wins. The Cleveland Browns, they put at 9. And I actually, this is one of the ones I really like, because if you listen to the national media and all the hype, people are saying, they got 12 wins in them this year, right? It's super hyped up. They put them at 9. And I'm assuming most people are going to go way over, right? Everybody's going to say over. Come on, man. Look at this team. And I'll be honest, it's tempting to go over, but I don't know how quickly I want to rush to that. The offensive line isn't great. And part of what they did, not only did they ship away draft picks, but they shipped away some players. They got rid of their right guard, who was a very, very good right guard, and got replaced by Austin Corbett, who is not good at all. They added Odell Beckham and they added Olivier Vernon, and I think those are really good additions. Denzel Ward is super talented. I don't know, man. Does Odell Beckham and Olivier Vernon and Greedy Williams, does that take him from 7 wins to 9 wins? Although I guess we got a different head coach. You got to remember 7 wins was still during the massive amount of dysfunction they had at the first half of the season. Well, they're also playing the AFC East. I think so. If I'm going to give the Steelers 10, I'll give the Browns 9. Over, under, or push? I don't think I can do under. I don't know if I want to go over. I don't know. I just believe in Baker, though. I mean, I like his tenacity. He kind of reminds me of, like, a... just attitude-wise, sort of like a Tom Brady. just like he's just going to will it to happen, you know? Just like that whole thing where he hated his old coach and he just wanted to shove it in his face real hard, right? It's just he's got that chip on his, like he's super easy to set off, and when he's set off, it's almost like a Brett Favre kind of thing. One of my favorite things is when somebody like hit Brett Favre a little bit late and he got up, like the game wasn't going real well and there was a late hit and he just snaps and gets in the guy's face and grabs his face mask or whatever. It's like, oh, we won the game now. Brett's mad. That's kind of how I feel like. So I think I'm going to go over. I'm going to say he wills them to 10 wins. And I think that's doable considering the Baltimore Ravens fall off. And again, I do think the Bengals are going to improve, but I don't know that it's going to be necessarily a good team. So I think the Steelers and Browns coming away with 10 is doable. Speaking of the Bengals, they got the I keep wanting to say the line. I don't bet, so I throw out terminology that I don't understand. I mean, I know how it works. I just say things sometimes. They have their win total staying at 6. I'm going to take over. Again, I don't think it's going to be 10 wins. I don't necessarily even know if it's going to be 9 wins. But I do think 6 is disrespectful. Remember, this is a new head coach. And to be honest, I think the Bengals could actually be kind of scary. I think they have the potential of being... I think if everything breaks right, this team can win the division. How about that for a bold prediction? You look at it again, I know that the whole like, oh, look, another McVay guy, this is getting boring, coaches are being dumb. Remember, it's just about modernizing the scheme. They had an antiquated coach, the same kind of situation with the Packers and everything. It's just the same guy running the same scheme that just isn't working anymore. It's just line up and try to launch it to AJ Green, and that doesn't work. We've got this new modernized thing. Now we've got Andy Dalton, who, you know, just think about, again, what happened to Jared Goff, who wasn't all that great. Andy Dalton is, and he's decent. Andy Dalton's a better quarterback than he gets credit for. He's just kind of like a Stafford-ish guy where it's just not good enough. But again, bring in this new system with A.J. Green, who's still incredibly good, and Tyler Boyd broke out last year in his third year. Beyond that, I think Joe Mixon is going to break out. You want to talk about what's going to happen with Aaron Jones? Joe Mixon is a freak. I don't like him at all as a person, but setting that all aside, this dude is really, really good, and he's not just a great running back. He's a really, really good receiver. In this offense, and they've got Tyler Eifert, even though it's probably only going to be for about 2 games before he breaks his whole body again, elite tight end for the time that they can have him, elite wide receiver, a very, very good slot receiver, a very, very good running back. And their defense is not bad. They've got a great safety that they hit on, Jesse Bates. The defensive front with Dunlap, Lawson, Geno Atkins, I think is a solid front. William Jackson at corner is pretty solid. The offensive line is what scares me, but it's similar, and the linebackers are garbage, but it's similar to the Packers in which if they're able to utilize this scheme to maximize the talent of the talent they have, there's no reason they shouldn't surpass what the Rams did. The offensive line is a serious problem, and the Rams have a great offensive line. But the Bengals have better wide receivers, and I think they had a better quarterback than what the Rams had prior to McVay coming on board. So, you know, if I had to bet, I would say they come in third in the division. But if I've come to find out they were second or even first, I wouldn't be super shocked. Just because, again, this is a team that is underperforming because the offensive scheme is garbage. This is a good quarterback with an elite wide receiver, a great second wide receiver, and an elite running back that just are not being utilized properly. And Tyler Eifert, who, you know, again, he might be in a wheelchair at this point. I don't even know what's going on with him. So we'll see what happens, but I'm definitely taking over. I'll give him 8 wins. So I think they're way under on this one. I'm going to give him 8. And I'll tell you what, we might just be doing AFC today and NFC tomorrow because this is taking longer than I expected. So actually, why don't we do that? Why don't we take a break now and then we'll do the South and the West. So the Houston Texans in the AFC South won 11 games last year. They dropped them way down to 8.5, and I just can't exactly understand why. I don't think this is an 11-win team, and I don't exactly even know how they did it last year. The offensive line is still arguably the worst in the NFL. They did get Titus Howard, but I think that was a massive reach. Hopkins and Fuller are solid. Watkins, you know, even if we assume he takes another leap, they don't have a run game. I don't care for their corners. You know, the defense is seen as really top tier, but I think a lot of it is really just the defensive front. Decent safeties, but, you know, outside of the two elite pass rushers in J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, and the one elite wide receiver in Hopkins, the team isn't all that great, but I'm still thinking 8.5 is kind of nuts. So obviously Vegas sees this as a team that's just going to massively drop off. I'm going to split the difference a little bit and come over and maybe give them 9 wins. And maybe it's a schedule thing. I don't necessarily see their division as a problem other than the Colts, I think, are going to be a much better team and win the division. The Titans, I don't think, are going to do anything. The Jaguars maybe will improve, but I don't see them. Well, maybe they can beat the Texans. Anyways, let's move on and talk about the Indianapolis Colts here. The Colts won 10 last year. They have them at 9.5. I'm going over. I'm just buying in hard on the Colts. I think as the season went on, they really became, I mean, you heard it, right? All last year, as the season progressed, people started saying, you got to watch out for the Colts. This is really a team to watch. And I think it is. I think they're going to absolutely dominate their own division. I mean, this is a team that had a solid defense last year that added Justin Houston to the mix. They've got some great DBs. They got Leonard, who broke out as a rookie linebacker last year. Team that's historically had a terrible offensive line suddenly has a very good offensive line. They still have T.Y. Hilton. They added Paris Campbell. You all know what I think about Andrew Luck. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, 9 wins is an absolute disappointment. I think 10 wins is somewhat of a disappointment. This should be a 11-12 win team in their division. So, as a prediction, I'm going to put them at 11. Again, not looking at their schedule, but just looking at their roster, I think 11 wins is a pretty good benchmark because, you know, when you've got a dominant offense and a dominant defense, it's so hard for teams to beat you. Not that they're number one or even necessarily top five in either of those categories. When you've got top 10 offense and top 10 defense, you're a tough team to beat. The Tennessee Titans, last year 9 wins. This year they have them at 8. I'm going to go under. Their roster is better, but they never can play up to the talent of their roster. I feel really bad for Marcus Mariota, as much as, you know, I never really thought he was all that great. The guy's gotten a real rough break. I mean, he's had a different offensive coordinator literally every year of his career, and he's got another new one this year. He's coming off injuries from last year. I think Davis at wide receiver is talented. But, you know, a lot of the stuff we saw, again, if you look at it, even though Matt LaFleur didn't do as much magic for the offense as people thought, you look at what happened with Derrick Henry breaking out. He might regress. You look at Delanie Walker and the tight ends having a really good go of it. He might regress. They did add A.J. Brown, which hopefully for their sake will help a little bit. They still have Jarrell Casey up front on their defensive side, but overall their defense is decent but not great. I think they've got a good enough roster to give anybody a run for their money, but I just see this as a team that gets close but just comes up short because they just don't have that extra gear to get over the hump. You know, they can beat up bad teams, but this is as boring and vanilla of a team as you'll find. And it might just come down to maybe getting the right coach, coordinator, combination thing to unleash this, but I don't know, man. I just see this thing kind of crashing and burning. Enough is enough. And after this year, as a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised to see a 6-win team, end up maybe even moving up or just staying put and drafting a quarterback next year. I just think this team needs a reboot a little bit. Might need a new coach as well. Not to put it all on him, but it's just not getting done. Jacksonville Jaguars. See, and this kind of stuff gets me excited sometimes because it's like sometimes I say stuff and I don't think anybody's with me, and then Vegas is like just throws you a bone. It's like, see, I told you. The Jaguars were at 5 wins last year. They bumped them up to 8. Vegas obviously sees some improvement. Now, granted, 5 is really low, so that's probably going to come up no matter what. But 8's a big jump. Now, I don't think the Jaguars are a good team, and maybe I overstate Foles a little bit, although, I mean, the guy's not as, whatever. I do worry about the team overall, but, if you look at other teams and the amount of credit I gave them, the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets, because of their they can't touch the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. A.J. Boye, Jalen Ramsey, Calais Campbell, Yannick Ngakoue, Miles Jack, they drafted Josh Allen, and they've got basically exactly what they need in Nick Foles. They just need a generic, vanilla, boring guy that can sit in the pocket and throw to the open receiver. The problem is there going to be an open receiver? I don't know. I think that's part of where I overestimate him, is I think a lot of his success came from the fact that he played for the Eagles that did a good job of scheming people open. However, the Jaguars are a more ground-and-pound kind of team. They're going to lean on Fournette. They just need the quarterback to be able to take some pressure off. I don't think they have a good enough wide receiver, good enough wide receivers, or good enough offensive line. And although I'm happy that Vegas also sees them getting more wins, it does make it a little harder. If they would have said 6, I could have taken the over. At 8, I don't know. I think this might be a push. I'm just going to leave it at 8. Their division, again, is not great. I think they can beat up on the Titans a little bit. Maybe they can take one from the Texans. Again, the defense is going to keep them in games. I don't know what their offense is going to be able to do. If I had to go over-under, I might go under and say 7 wins. But I kind of see this team as being somewhat similar to the Bears. Not that the defense is necessarily going to be that good, but you look at what happens when you have a dominant defense like that, and they added a pass rusher in Josh Allen, which I think is a weird scheme fit. But if he can even come close to matching the potential, they also added my guy Jake Ryan, who I think is underrated. But again, you got a defense that's going to keep you in games. They've got a quarterback that's better than Trubisky. And although they don't have quite as good of wide receivers as the Bears don't have elite wide receivers. And I don't think they have as good a running back as Leonard Fournette. So I'm just going to leave it at 8. I'm not going to take the under and say 7. I don't necessarily want to go to 9. I'm going to say 8 makes sense. Finally, the high-flying division, the AFC West, with the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Broncos and the Raiders. Yes, even the Raiders, because they added Mr. A. Brown. A is for Antonio. But the Kansas City Chiefs won 12 games last year. The Vegas has put them at 10 wins. I think that's a pretty easy over. I wouldn't be surprised if they're not quite as good of a team. But if the Chiefs can't surpass 10 wins, I think that's a complete drop-off. If they hit 10, or especially if they come in under, if they get 9 wins, that team just died. And, you know, again, I could see Pat Mahomes maybe taking a slight step back, but as high-flying and crazy as that guy was, if he can even play any bit close to what he did. And remember, the Chiefs didn't have a good defense last year, so it's not like, well, the defense got... So what? The defense wasn't good last year. So relatively easy over. If I had to pick a number, I think 12 is reasonable. I mean, 12 wins is 4 losses, and I think it's harder to justify the 4 losses than it is 12 wins. And again, I think Mahomes, I don't even want to say overhyped, because it's hard to overhype what he did. It's regardless of what his career looks like, that is an unbelievable rookie season. But in terms of him being the best quarterback in the NFL, it's like, well, we need to kind of wait and see what's going to happen. And again, the defense is not good, but even so, it's hard to imagine. And I've also said, if you don't have a defense, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. That's just been tried and true. You got to get some kind of a defense going. And maybe they will, maybe they won't. But in the regular season, racking up 12 wins with that good of an offense, I'm going to keep them at 12. I'm going way over. The Chargers also had 12 wins last year. Vegas put them at 9.5. I don't really see them sustaining 12. It's funny because I've been saying for a while the Chargers have just been underperforming. And props to Anthony Lynn, by the way, who came in and finally got some potential out of this team. Because this is a roster that's been underperforming for a very long time. But I think they're going to be good. I'm going to take the under just because 12 is hard to reach. And I don't know that they're that elite. I mean, Rivers is a good quarterback. Allen is a great wide receiver. Gordon is a good running back. Mike Williams kind of broke out in his second year. Hunter Henry, very good tight end. The defense, you got Bosa and Ingram. They drafted Tillery. They got Nasir Adderley to complement Derwin James. I mean, it's a good group, man. I guess 12 wouldn't shock me. The offensive line scares me. The corners, linebackers, defensive interior, the defensive line on the interior, Mebane and Tillery. I just don't know if I want to go 12. I'll put them at, I guess if I was going to set my own number, it would be like 10.5. 11 still seems maybe a tad high. 10 seems maybe a tad low. I'll just say 11. Denver Broncos, they won 6 games last year. They have them at 7. I think that's just a solid number because I not that I necessarily think they're going to get better. I just like that it's 7 because I think some people think it's going to be a good team and I just don't. However, you all know how much I like Vic Fangio, and even if the guy is not going to have a good offense, one of the greatest things was I just saw yesterday a quote from Vic Fangio, something to the effect of Von Miller's pretty good, but he can be better. And Von Miller essentially agreed, like, yeah, I can be better. And he went on to list, like, I've never been MVP, I've never been Defensive Player of the Year, never been any of these things, which is crazy because I have said on this podcast several times now, I think he's the best pass rusher in the NFL. I think he's better than Khalil Mack. Especially if you look at his career. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it. If you look at PFF and what they've graded him literally every single year since 2011, including, which is his rookie year, elite. His worst year ever was his rookie year. He was 90. That's unbelievable. I have never seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 straight years of elite anything. I mean, Aaron Donald is on the exact same path as Von Miller. Aaron Donald has been elite every year. His rookie year was 90.2. That was his worst year. Basically the exact same as Von Miller. Since then, 93, 92, 94, 95. So, you know, Von Miller didn't quite reach those heights, but 90, 93, 91, 90, 91, 90, 91, 90. That's how he's graded out every year. Khalil Mack is close, but his rookie year was 86.9. Otherwise, 91, 92, 90, 90. So again, similar, and we're splitting hairs, and if you want to talk more athletically gifted, find Khalil Mack. But I just, maybe because he's underrated now, especially that Khalil Mack's a Bear, it feels good to say that Von Miller's the best pass rusher. But I was saying it before Khalil Mack was a Bear. The guy gets absolutely not enough credit. But anyways, point is, hearing Vic Fangio come in and be like, yeah, we're going to, you know, when I watch him play, he's got to clean some stuff up. Von Miller. Usually, you know, like with Aaron Rodgers and these elite type players, coaches kind of come in and kiss players' feet a little bit. You know, like, oh, you know, when you get a player of that caliber, you just got to let him play, or whatever kind of dumb nonsense like that. Vic comes in and he's like, nah, he's all right. You know, we got to clean some stuff up. He's not quite where he needs to be. But he did go on to say something like, but with a player of his caliber, you know, changing a little bit can make a big difference. But that's awesome. And that's part of why I like Vic Fangio. And again, I don't know if this team's going to be any good, the offense is going to be good, but I think this defense could just be sick. You know, again, you look at the improvements the Bears made. Chris Harris is better than Fuller. Callahan came over from Chicago. Again, Miller, I think, is, well, whatever. Miller is basically Mack, and Chubb is a lot better than anybody the Bears had on the opposite side. But anyways, with all that said, I think I am going to take the over. As much as I kind of came into this saying, I'm glad Vegas also doesn't see him as being that good of a team. Similar logic to what I said with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think the defense is going to improve. Not that it was a bad defense, but I just think it's going to be very, very good. And it took Vic Fangio several years to get the Bears to where they are. But I just trust in his ability for them to take a step, and then next year maybe take another step. I do expect Flacco to still be the quarterback. Emmanuel Sanders, I think, is a good wide receiver. They've got a bunch of young, growing wide receivers. I think it's going to be good enough. Noah Fant, they added. Dalton Reisner is in there with Garrett Bowles at left tackle, you know, continuing to grow. I could see 8, possibly even 9 wins. It's going to be tough in the division because the Chiefs are going to beat them up, and the Chargers are going to beat them up, and I don't know what else they got going on. But they should get 2 from the Raiders, and I could see them, I'll say 8. But anyways, finally, that leaves us with the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders had 4 wins last year. Vegas puts them at 6.5. That's tough. I mean, I might take the over on it. I know the Oakland Raiders are kind of a joke, but I think Derek Carr is a good enough quarterback. I don't want to say over or underrated because it really depends who you're talking to. Some people like him, some people don't. I would say underrated at this point because people are starting to get to the point where they're mocking him. I think he's in that kind of mid-tier range, you know, the Sam Bradford kind of guy, you know, kind of right in there. But they do have an improved offensive line. Incognito's a psychopath, but he's a really good football player. He's on the team. Colton Miller, I think, was a terrible draft pick, but if he improves, they've got a good offensive line across the board. Antonio Brown, obviously, they added. Josh Jacobs, they put out as a running back, I think, has a lot of potential of being pretty solid. So the offense has some potential for sure. The defense, as much as I make fun of it, they do have some talent. They added LaMarcus Joyner, who's a good football player. They have Hurst on the inside. They added Cleland Ferrell in the draft. They drafted Jonathan Abram as a strong safety, who I think is relatively talented. He'll add that physicality, which the Raiders are just trying to get back to old school Raiders, right? You picked up, first of all, Vontaze Burfict, who's a psychopath. You picked up Richie Incognito, who's a psychopath. Then you draft Jonathan Abram, who seems like a nice kid, but he plays like a psychopath. So they're trying to bring that back, and I think they're going to get it. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to work in their favor because you're going to have suspensions. You're going to have, I mean, Vontaze Burfict isn't even really a good football player. So why you would pick up a guy who's that crazy but isn't even that good? I mean, he's going to get ejected week 2 for, you know, smacking somebody right in the head. But I am going to take the over on this. you know, again, it's easy to beat up on the Raiders, but I do think they're starting to build around some stuff. 6.5. I'm just going to put it at 7. I'll say they're over. So, anyways, I got to get flying. Again, that took a lot longer than I expected. We will do the NFC tomorrow. Obviously, we'll get to the NFC North by the end of that podcast. But otherwise, you folks enjoy your Friday. I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.